beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
I'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. Those of you living in North Texas, we want to invite you to come to our barbecue picnic on our parking lot Sunday, the 25th of this month. Sunday the 25th, the fourth Sunday of this month, we want to ask that you come to our barbecue picnic on the church parking lot. We're going to have a great time, great fellowship, plenty of security. We'll have two Dallas police officers here on duty, and so we'll have great fellowship. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience, and we're happy to announce that one individual pledge is paying for the broadcast to all the world from the island of Madagascar, and so that is already covered. Now we have a proposal from Pan American Broadcasting that for $103 a week, they will broadcast from the island of Palau to China, and that for another $100 a week, they'll broadcast to all of Europe, all of North Africa, all of the Middle East, the Ukraine, all the way through India, and we'll get all of North and South America free. So we're already broadcasting to the world twice. Madagascar will make three times, and this would make four times. And if there's somebody out there with an extra oil well that's tired of seeing your money spent on Professor Smart's new Cadillac, we pray that you might get in contact with us. And just for peanuts, we can take this gospel and you can put your money into something that really counts, that'll live forever, and that's called souls. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out like a hyphenated word, mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's thousands of sermons on there, audio sermons. There's thousands of written lessons. They're being improved all the time. There's thousands of links that you can study and get a college education. We're studying the Beatitudes. If you'd open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 5, we'll quickly fly through these that we went through last week, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. Traditional location of this, we've got some pictures of it, is a mountain. This is a Byzantine church, or where a Byzantine church was built. That is, on this mountain is where the Beatitudes is taking place, and that's called the Church of the Beatitudes. And this is another view of it. This is the mountain that overlooks the Sea of Galilee where Jesus is teaching this. And just a beautiful area. And you see that it's kind of a punch bowl effect there. If he's on that mountain, well, his voice would carry and a lot of people could hear. It says that his disciples came unto him. And now verse 2, Matthew 5, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Versus the proud in spirit, the haughty in spirit, the puffed up in spirit. Those people who think that they're big shots in this world. God is looking for the humble, for the poor, and the meek, and the downtrodden. He's looking for those people who have their spirits under control, and they recognize that there is nothing more powerful than God. And this word blessed means happy. It means happy in this world, but it means happy also eternally in the world to come. I'm telling you, this is a better way of life. I have had riches galore. I have had all of the worldly things. They write books about people like me. They make movies about people like me. I've had all of the things that people dream of in this world, and I'm telling you, I am happier now than I ever was. I'm living my dream. I'm at peace. My conscience doesn't bother me. I'm not paranoid. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night. I used to get up in the middle of the night and move my bed and say, somebody could shoot right through that window and get me, man. And you become paranoid living those kind of lifestyles. I'm telling you, happy is the man who's saved. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Godly sorrow here is meant. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." You ought to be sorry for your sins. Repentance means turn from your sins. And so you need to take a look at yourself. Examine yourself. Compare yourself not to me. If you compare yourself to me, you've got something to brag about. Compare yourself to Jesus. If you compare yourself to Jesus, every mouth will be stopped. Nobody can brag if you compare yourself to Jesus. Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek, the mild, the gentle, versus the proud and haughty. This word meek, it doesn't mean a stooge, a chump, a sissy. It doesn't mean that at all. It was a word that was common used in the Greek language to describe a wild animal that's trained for service. The wolf who will lay down with the lamb. People who have made changes in their lives. People who are different than what they used to be. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the word earth here is ethros, the land. Canaan land had been promised to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. And now Jesus is saying that if you will be converted and be part of this kingdom of God, if you'll come to God in the appointed way and become part of this kingdom of God, part of this church of Christ, that milk and honey will flow from the hearts of men. You'll become different people. You'll become good people. Instead of taking, you'll want to give. There'll be new changes in your life. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land." Those people who have become like Jesus. Why is he like that? Look at Matthew 11 called the Great Invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Man, I need rest. Oh, God, have I worked hard. I really need rest. What does he say the answer for needing rest is? "Take my yoke upon you." Oh, man, yoke is work. To be yoked with Christ is to pull part of the burden. Jesus says, pulling on the rope, helping us keep the wagon in the middle of the road, helping out around here, serving a sandwich, making some sandwiches up, bagging up some sweets, putting some fruit in a bag, giving it to the homeless, taking care of the poor, that'll give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Jesus is saying, I'm well trained in God's service. You want to know what God's like? He's just like Jesus. He's well trained in God's service. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Verse 6. "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The Bible teaches there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. They've all gone out of the way. And they've all together become unprofitable, the Bible says. If you add up all the goodness of all people in the world, they've added all together up. They're just totally unprofitable. But now the righteousness of God. God has another righteousness. Jesus is going to say in this Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:63, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So come and find the righteousness of God. Have the righteousness of God imputed and counted to you and reckoned to you. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This implies that the disciple is aware of his spiritual needs. Jesus said to them, John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. For they shall be filled." That clause there means well fed, as the Greek word there implies. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Those people whose hearts have been purified by faith. Shakespeare wrote about mercy. He said, "The quality of mercy is not strain, It droppeth from heaven as a gentle rain on a place beneath here on earth. 'Tis twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him who takes. When I give a sandwich out, it blesses me. And it blesses the guy that doesn't have a sandwich. As the old belly's rubbing his backbone, and now he's got a sandwich, and he's got a sweet, and he's got an orange, and he's got a smile on his face and joy in his heart. It blesses him who gives and him who takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes a throned monarch better than a crown. Mercy is better than being a king sitting on your throne with a crown upon your head. Mercy will last forever, that throne and that crown, if you're a king, won't. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Hebrewism, meaning inherit his love. To the heart, the Hebrews, to the heart was the mind, the emotion, the intellect, and the memory. The heart imagines in Genesis 5. It understands in Matthew 15:13. It reasons in Mark 2:8. It thinks in Luke 9:47. It believes in Romans 10:9. It loves in 1 Peter 1:22. The heart is the seat of intelligence. And so the Pharisees cared little about the heart. They cared about the outward appearance of things. But Jesus demands the heart, the affections, the mind be purified. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable sermons, all kinds of written lessons. And we hope that somewhere out there in our radio audience is someone who will pledge $103 a week to broadcast the gospel to all of China. There are more people who speak English that are learning English in China than speak English in the United States of America. Just imagine, instead of your contribution going to Professor Smart in his new Cadillac, and he's already got a Cadillac anyway, instead of your contribution going to that, your contribution can take the gospel and take it to the entire continent of China, Mongolia, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, the whole Pacific Rim for $103 a week. Billions of people could be in your broadcast area. Just get in touch with me. My name's Kelly, call the church building. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. People, men who in the name of the Prince of Peace go forth to proclaim peace and goodwill among men. We all know who the warmongers are. We all know who motivates them. We know who's behind ISIS. We know who's behind all the killing that goes on in this world. It's the devil that's behind them. And so we want you to be involved in being peacemakers. Try to make peace. Instead of agitating trouble, why don't you try to make peace between brethren? That's the greatest thing that a person can possibly do. You know, there used to be a guy that was a football player. I'm trying to think of his name. I'll think of it in a minute. But he was the meanest guy. He was notorious. He would get in a big pile of football players, and he'd bite somebody, one of his own men. And he would tell them, he'd say, "I saw that guy bite you on that other team. I seen him do it. Are you going to let him get away with that?" He'd bite people on his own team. And he was an old snaggletooth guy, and he'd start trouble. Well, there are people like that. There are people in the church like that that just want to agitate, just want to start trouble, just want to stir something up. And don't be like that. If you've been like that, repent of that. Be a peacemaker. Be at peace with all men. You can't be at peace with God if you're an agitator among men. I guarantee you that. And you'll get what you got coming because people will start picking on you. You'll find that you're not very happy at home. You'll find that everybody around you wants to argue with you and fuss with you. You'll get what you got coming in this life. I guarantee you everybody gets what their hand calls for in this life. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. These words have sustained and cheered on to glory many a martyr. Many a martyr has died, been burned at the stake for owning a Bible, been persecuted to death, fed to the lions by the Romans, and on and on and on, with this blessing on their lips. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A man named Hess, H-E-S-S, he was before, about 100 years before Martin Luther. He made a translation of the Bible, and they burned him at the stake for having a translation of the Bible. Well, they didn't have enough straw and enough hay and enough wood to burn him, and he lived through it. And a woman came up and added more wood to the fire. As the fire was beginning to go out, she added more wood and more straw, and he blessed her because he wanted to go on and die. I mean, why would you want to go on and suffer like that? Great martyr for the church. He was so far thinking, he said that in the church we're only allowed to do those things that God tells us to do in the New Testament. Luther came along and said that we can do anything that God doesn't forbid in the New Testament. Luther's thinking had to be wrong, because the New Testament does not tell me that I can't baptize in whiskey. God doesn't tell us everything not to do. He tells us what to do instead of not telling us everything not to do. If he told us everything not to do, the Bible, you couldn't put it in this room. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I've suffered a little of that my own self, and it's a great blessing. I love it when people revile me and persecute me and say all manner of evil against me falsely. God knows the truth. I know the truth. I'm 71 years old. I've died 3 times of bad heart. I beat cancer. I beat 2 leg surgeries. I got a brain aneurysm. I'm going to die at any minute next year, 10 years from now. It ain't going to be long. And I am pure at heart. I can look at him and say, save me, Jesus. I've trusted you to save me. I've trusted you to save me from me. I've trusted you to save me from the devil. I've trusted you to save me from sin. And I believe he'll get the job done before he calls me home. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Reason why that we may justly rejoice is given. Great is your reward in heaven. Isaiah is said to have been sawed asunder. Jeremiah was thrown not only into prison, he was thrown in a well in the dungeon of the prison, down in the muck, in the mud, up to his neck, about to drown in the mud. Elijah was hunted by Ahab and Jezebel. All the great prophets of the Old Testament were persecuted. John was beheaded. All of the apostles were persecuted to death but one, the writer of the Gospel of John. John the Baptist beheaded. All the rest of them were persecuted to death except one. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye, the disciples, those 12 first, but us, they've turned over their legacy to us. They've given us the directions for the kingdom of heaven. Ye are the salt of the earth. And so we right now are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Salt preserves from corruption. When you dry fish over in the Orient, they rub salt on it. They rub salt on it every day. when you dry meat here in a smokehouse, you rub salt on it. Salt preserves. Salt penetrates. Salt adds savor. It gives it taste. Some things just can't be eaten without salt. I can't eat a tomato without salt. It just doesn't taste right. Salt preserves in the desert. You want to keep from sweating out all your water, you got to have some salt in you. And so salt that's lost its savor or its saving qualities, it doesn't do nothing. The Dead Sea was plumb full of butanous salt. And butanous salt was salt that had sulfur in it. And so it wasn't any good. You couldn't put it on your food. So what you had to do was use it when it snowed and iced over there in the cities. They put it on the stones just like we do on sidewalks here to keep you from slipping and falling down. That's what Jesus is talking about. That salt that's lost its savor or is butanous salt, it's only good to keep you from falling down, breaking your neck when it snows and rains and all that stuff. And so we need to continue to communicate the saving power of the gospel. And if we don't do that, we're only fit to be cast out. And as Jesus said, that lukewarm, that I'll spew you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. We're trying this year to double. We now broadcast to the entire world almost twice. We've added Radio Madagascar, and an individual has stepped up and said, I'll pay for that with my contribution. I'll pay for Radio Madagascar. Radio Madagascar will make three times that we will broadcast to the entire earth. We're trying to make it four times in 2016. We're looking for someone out there that'll say, I'll give $100 a week, and out of WRMI in Florida, we can broadcast to all of Europe, all of North Africa, all of the Middle East, all of Ukraine, and we'll get all of North and South America free. So for $100 a week for WRMI, and for $103 a week for Radio Palaloo, we can broadcast to the entire earth four times. That is something. If you've got a church that will allow your preacher to preach 53 minutes like I do, where you can put an hour sermon together, and he can do a better job than me, I think you ought to give every penny that you can to him. And if he does a better job than me, we'll give our money to y'all and let you do it. But if you can't do that, we want you to get a hold of us here. If you're tired of seeing your money spent by Professor Twiddly D.D. and his cousin Skillet, we'd like for you to put your money in something, and that's called souls, and you can do it at the Main Street Church of Christ. Just call me at the office. Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. The business of the church is not only to save, but to enlighten. We need to teach you. After we've saved you with the gospel, we need to teach you how to live. Such cities were seen from afar, so the church must give forth its light. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it gives forth light to all the house. Be foolishness to light a lamp and put it under a bushel. 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Like a city set on a hill, we're like to be a lighted lamp on a stand. We will shine and reflect light if we walk in His light. Who is this that teaches from a mountain like Moses, but does it with sweetness and grace rather than fire and brimstone? Well, it's God Himself. Came in a fleshly body to tabernacle among men This is a new and better covenant than the old covenant. Drop down to Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, for I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. His teaching was so opposed to the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees that some might assert that he was a destroyer of the law. But he came to fulfill, to complete the law, to complete its purpose, and he was the end of the law. He was the one who fulfilled it. He never sinned. The law was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, if you sin, you die. But the New Testament tells us, for we have not a great high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he's in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. And so you need to put your faith and trust in the one who never sinned. Matthew 5:16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. A jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. A tittle, the expression, is much like a dot of an I or a cross of a T. Till implies a great event in Christ's life and the establishment of his kingdom. The old dispensation, the dispensation of the letter and the yoke of bondage as a system of types and shadows, will soon pass away. And now, we who live in the church age, it has passed away. Love God and love your fellow man as yourself will last forever. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever there shall break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. God has not changed his mind about thou shalt not kill. That word means thou shalt not do murder. You shall not do murder. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. All of those things thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his donkey or anything else. Don't covet, don't steal, don't lie, don't run around on your wife. All of those things, all those laws we've broke. We have broken the law. And because we've broken the law, we got to have another way to be saved. And that way is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, for I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees had probably never murdered anybody but prophets. The scribes and the Pharisees had never stolen from anybody but a goyim, from a Gentile. The scribes and the Pharisees had probably never coveted anything because they had it all anyway and everybody else had nothing. So they had a form of righteousness. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, Romans 3:21. There is a righteousness of God that is available to you. How righteous is God? Well, he's as righteous as you can be. Don't you want to be as righteous as you can be? Well, the way to be that righteousness is be in Christ. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause. See, a brother can give you cause and you can be angry with him. You can be angry, just sin not. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Yahweh God had spoken the Decalogue to Israel. Christ now assumes the right to amend it and change it. Such a claim is based upon the divinity of Christ. Christ is divine. Christ is God. He has a right to change the law. Jesus goes back to the murderous act and forbids the anger and the reproach of words that proceeded to murder. The original implies a stupid, wicked fool. The Greek there is Gehenna of hellfire. We're told if your brother offends you to go to him and him alone and tell him what he's done to offend you. Not to go to a bunch of other people. Not to go to somebody and say, well, this guy said this about that, and then bite him in the back and tell him that the other guy did it. That's not the way in the kingdom of God. And if you practice such stuff, you're really not in the kingdom of God in the first place because you've not had a change in your heart. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you know, you have to give of your blessing. No poor person is required to give above what they have if they're poor. But if you get a big Social Security check and you don't give God his part, you get a big retirement check, you got a big job and you don't give God his part, you're robbing God. Malachi talks about that. He talks about robbing God. If you rob God, God is going to get you sooner or later. There are five things that we do in worship. Giving is one of them. And so God doesn't want a penny from the poor. Some people here have asked me for a dollar, where they can put a dollar in a plate. I always got one. I always help anybody. I understand how it feels to be embarrassed and not be able to give something. But God doesn't expect you to give if you don't have anything. We've got homeless people here. We've got poor people here. We've got people that don't get but $300 or $400 Social Security a month here. My Social Security after I pay Medicaid is $331 a month. Does anybody in the building make less in Social Security? You make less too. Two make less in Social Security, less than $331 a month. Well, you're in the boat with me. And we're going to heaven. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift if you're intending to give. If you're intending to give. Some people don't even intend to give. Some people aren't allowed to give. Some people, their mate won't let them give. Some people are not going to give. Some people are so greedy they're going to keep it themselves. But if you're coming and you're going to give, God says, I don't care about your money. If you come to give and you remember what, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remembers that thy brother has anything against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way and be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. God is not going to accept your worship if you have a brother that you've offended and that you've done wrong and you try to worship him. He's not going to accept your worship. Of the modification of the law, thou shalt not kill, which required that there should be no anger in a brother. But what about the offering of a gift on the altar? This shows that one guilty of wrongs to his fellow man cannot offer acceptable worship to God. Matthew 5:25. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. See, they had debtor's prison back then. And if you owed somebody something and you couldn't pay it, you were put in prison until you could pay it. And how can you work when you're in prison and pay it? Well, you can't. And Jesus said you won't ever get out of there. By adversary, it's been an opponent in a lawsuit. Don't get involved in the lawsuits. This is supposed that your opponent in a lawsuit has a just claim against you. The officer means the same thing as our sheriff. Under the old laws, a debt could be punished with imprisonment, and so you'd be taken and put in prison until you could pay it, and then you can't work, so you can't pay it. Matthew 5:26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt in no wise come out from thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And let me tell you something. I paid for my sin and my wicked life. I paid for it in the furnace of affliction, and I don't want you to have to do that. Obey the laws. There's people out there, police officers are worried about their backs. Don't make a cop scared. Don't talk back to a cop, even if you're right. Live to litigate it another day. Don't argue. Don't badmouth a cop. Don't do any of that stuff. They got guns. They're shooting people. Some of them deserve shooting. Some of them don't. There are accidents. I don't want a cop just pulling his gun out at all. The thing's liable to go off. So, especially if you're black people, don't agitate no cops. They're on a hair trigger. So leave them alone. Leave them alone. Let them do their job. And if they stop you, be polite. Even if you're in the right and they're in the wrong, don't get yourself killed. Let me give you some wisdom here. Let me tell you something. I don't care how bad you are, they got a place for you. Both the federal government and the state of Texas has got a place for you. The federal government called it Leavenworth back in my day, and the state of Texas calls it the Ellis Unit. And they'll give you a hoe, and you can chop cotton from morning till night down there while the lawyers get paid and trying to get you out. Matthew 5:27. You've been heard said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. The Jewish rabbis held that a man was guiltless who didn't commit the entire act. Bill Clinton tried to pull that stuff. This lays the law upon the heart. It is impure, full of unholy desires. It's our duty to keep our heart pure. It's our duty to keep our heart pure. I've had a trouble with wild women all my life. And the only way that I can stop that is not to look, not to think, not to talk to them, not to be involved with them, not to be crying on their shoulder when my wife ain't sweet to me, not to pick up hitchhikers. I can give you a list of things don't do. There's a lot of things that you don't do. You don't go sniffing around. And I don't know how I can make it any plainer to you, because you can't take fire to your bosom and not be burned. And you think they won't tell you why if you're crazy. Matthew 15:18. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And speaking of that, if you're a Christian, you can't sin and get away with it. You understand? You'll catch something. You'll get some kind of disease. Something will happen to you if you fool around out there. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication. Y'all know what fornication is? Fornication is to have sex and not be married. You understand that if you have sex and you're not married, any form of sex, all included fornication, if you have sex and you're not married, you're fornicating, and you will be lost if you don't repent of that. So stop that. Get that under control. Let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. If you can't contain yourself, it's better to marry than burn, the book says. Meaning burning lust also, or burning hell either. Matthew 5:29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better than looking at Playboy magazine, because you're lusting after those things. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, that not that thy whole body be cast into hell. A right eye gives a lustful look, a lascivious passion. It's better to suffer deep mortification and self-denial than to be judged worthy of eternal hell. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 lessons, 1,000 written lessons of acapella singing, all kinds of things on there. Want to invite the people of North Texas to our barbecue picnic Sunday the 25th. Want to ask that you come over to Main Street, Peak in Main, exit I-30 Peak Street off of I-30 and come right onto the building. We're within 3 blocks of the freeway. It's easy to get to. So just be a missionary and come on over here to Main Street Church of Christ and have a barbecue picnic with us. If somewhere out there in radio land, there's someone of means that would like to see your contribution not wasted, but spent on preaching the gospel to the whole wide world, Pan American Broadcasting has offered us 2 broadcasts into China for $75 a week. 2 broadcasts into China for $75 a week. Making those things that I told you, $103 a week from Palau gets China and all the Pacific Rim. $100 a week from Florida gets Europe and all of Russia, the Ukraine, Africa, and the Middle East, and all of India. And $75 a week gets China, Japan, Indonesia twice. So somebody out there in radio land surely has more money than a measly $75 a week. $75 a week, $300 a month can take the gospel to 1 billion people. You know, there's more people in China learning English than there are in the United States that speak English. Now's your opportunity to put your money into souls and not into people. We work for free over here, and so if you want to be involved in that and partner with us, call me at the church office at 214-821-2123. Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. Thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. 31. For it had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. This is a hard saying to understand. Putteth away did not mean divorce. These Pharisees were just kicking their women out and weren't divorcing them. They couldn't do nothing. They couldn't get married again. They couldn't get somebody to take care of them. He caused the woman to commit adultery. The word adultery there is covenant breaking. It's not talking about sex. It's talking about breaking your word. So if you put away your wife, you're breaking your word because you promised to love, honor, and cherish her all the days of your life. You're causing her to break her word to you. And any sex involved makes her an adulterer. So marriage needs to stay together if at all possible. But where fornication has broken the bond of marriage, God would prefer for you to forgive and be restored. But if that is impossible, it is permissible under Christianity for the person who fornication has been committed against to put away his wife, to divorce his wife, not put her away and cast her out and not divorce her. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform thy oaths to the Lord thy oaths. The Jews held that this only prohibited swearing falsely by the name of God. That they could swear, oh, I swear on the temple, or oh, I swear on Jerusalem. Just as long as they didn't say, I swear by Yahweh, that they could swear and lie like a dog, and it'd not count. It's King's X, Fudgies, I had my fingers crossed.
And especially if they was swearing to a goyim, to a Gentile, they could swear, man, they could swear anything. I went to work for a Jewish fella when I was a kid, when I was 8 years old, racking Coca-Cola bottles. And he had a big ceiling fan above the scales in the meat market. And he had an old Sears sewing machine pedal at the floor. And he'd put a stake up on that scales, and he'd hit that sewing machine pedal, and that fan would go, you know, and I mean, it'd really blow. And he sold more air than what you could imagine. That fan was pushing down, the air was pushing down on them scales. Now, can you imagine that? And, of course, he thought it was all right to do that to goyim because they weren't Jews. Matthew 5:34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Y'all think it's right to cheat somebody because they're white people or because they're black people or because they're Jews or because they're Gentiles? I don't think it's right to cheat anybody. The law of Moses talked about just weights and just measures. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist and be sure and download some sermons on there, listen to our sermons and those written lessons. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. You can repent of your sin, confess Christ as Lord. Just march right down to the front, down here, and meet me at the front. And you can have all your sins washed away. If you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Amen.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
And it breaks. Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.